Welcome back to another lovely Just Play podcast with myself, Andy Aitken, and my esteemed colleague, Ryan Tricky, who some would say is a bit of a George Clooney lookalike these days. So, Ryan, I'm sure you've had that on numerous occasions. Would you like to clarify the rumours that you are George Clooney's stunt double?
I'm afraid, I'm sorry to disappoint, but it's not me.
Oh, such a shame! Such a shame.
Oh,
I think
that's
you would pull it. You would pull it off beautifully. You would pull it off beautifully. So, how are you, my friend?
very good, very good. Yeah, no, absolutely good. Loving life, loving life. We've had a great
Loving life.
summer.
Oh, geez Louise! I know,
Beautiful
loving
weather.
life. I'm going to ask you when we come to January's podcast, which will be probably hopefully into the episode of the 40s and 50s. And I'm
Oh.
expecting exactly the same enthusiasm of loving life, loving life.
Watch that
So,
space. Watch that
where,
space.
yeah, this is where everyone will scroll to hopefully episode 40, having started and become a part of the bandwagon of the Just Play podcast. But anyway, swiftly moving on, we're going to be discussing how important it is to represent your country. And this is relevant at the moment because those that have maybe not listened to or seen the news recently, obviously US Open is coming to a close. It means Billie Jean Cup, the finals, I think, are going to be imminent in the next sort of weeks and months coming up. However, GB has decided to announce its team, and in that team it was requested, it was asked of Emma Raducanu to play, and she has politely declined so she can begin her preparation on the Asian swing, which is not the first time that she has, I would say, in inverted commas, not decided to play Billie Jean Cup due to a certain reason. So we're going to be discussing really what the importance is of actually playing for your country now, tennis perspective, but also probably relating to other sports as well. So Ryan, first and foremost, if you are asked, due to your beautiful tennis skill acquisition, skill set, you've just beaten Jack Draper in three sets and Leon Smith has given you the call, are you going to be playing for GB first and foremost?
100%, 100%, 1,000,000%. I get. I suppose sometimes, I'm definitely 100% in for playing for your country. I think it's the biggest thing you can possibly do. It's the most important thing in your sport. I think you could represent club in any sport, but if you get asked to represent your country, it is like pinnacle of your sport, I would say.
So to give a little bit more context of why this conversation has come up, obviously, Emma has decided to not play Billie Jean Cup. And obviously, we're following this from press reports at the moment that she's obviously got a new coach in her camp. She wants to spend a little bit more time with him and obviously begin her Asian swing. Hopefully, yeah, with a good partnership, with obviously all of this pretty much now gearing for probably for her towards the end of the year, which will probably finish around about early November, and then she'll obviously start to prepare ready for Australia in 2026, the first Grand Slam again. So I guess bluntly, is she making the right decision from our point of view? Is she making the right decision? We don't know the ins and outs of it. We're going to speculate
No.
as much as possible, but is she making the right decision by not playing?
I think it's important to understand that Emma's had or gone through quite a vast amount of change of coach through one reason or another, whether it fits or doesn't fit. So I'm a kind of a for and against. I think the for it, if you're kind of literally just getting into a new coach, which she pretty much has before the US Open, she needs to kind of build that relationship maybe, and obviously feel like she needs to develop enough periodization in a program to kind of get herself set ready for the Aussie Open in January. I'm against it also because I think that maybe, she's a very good player and she can take the likes of Sabalenka on quite happily. Recently getting into a third set tussle with her as she currently stands. So I'm a bit against it that I feel that, LCA, I'm sure, have put a little bit of money her way to kind of make sure that she is doing what she needs to do. And I think that when you get money from your governing body, you need to kind of pay back a little bit to that as well. So with our LTA being our main governing body, and they offer that chance for her to be part of the British team. I think for her, it should be one of her main attractions. I mean, we obviously want to have legacy. We want to have world number one, in all our sports. I get that, but I think you need to give back as well. How about yourself? What would you say?
Yeah, look, I mean, we are at the moment speculating to actually whether she now gets funding from our national
Yeah,
government body, the
absolutely.
LTA. We probably would like to assume that she probably doesn't because she doesn't need it. She's got enough sponsorship. She's obviously getting enough prize money, etc. But I think, like you pointed out, probably in the build-up of her career, certainly probably from nines to 16, 17 years old, she's going to be have been funded. She'll have had certainly in recent years when she was chopping and changing between tennis coaches, she did have LTA coaches with her. So is it right that she now decides that she wants to spend a bit more time with her coach and build that rapport and build a relationship to give herself the best chance at the Aussie Open? I guess time will tell. If she goes into the Aussie Open and she makes quarters slash semis, you've probably got to say that's a justifiable decision. I think that's probably what she's hedging her bets on. She's obviously had a new sort of like fitness slash personal trainer in her corner for the, sort of the last year. She's obviously now got a new coach in her corner. I think a lot of it comes back to me if I look at this from Anki Otthong's position as obviously GB captain. You've got your number one standout player currently around about 30 in the world. She's probably going to, as you say, when she goes into number one singles, she's going to give anybody a good run for their money, if not win it. So, you not to say she's a banker by any means, but you'd like to think you're actually competing hard. The issue, I guess you could say, not to say our GB team is weak by any means, it's certainly not, with Sonny Cartel, Katie Bolter, Harriet Dart, Heather Watson playing obviously probably a bit more doubles now, and we've got a few double specialists in there as well. It obviously bumps everybody up the order. So it maybe puts a little bit, I say, stress on the team, but crikey, they're professional athletes at the end of the day, and this is their job, and they will compete hard, but we probably have, let's be honest, a better chance of doing better with Emma and the team, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so we definitely want Emma and the team. And I think it probably raises the question, is this the same in tennis as it is other sports, for example? There seems to be, when we're obviously football being prevalent in the UK where Ryan and I are from, it seems that English players in the English national team can withdraw, I would say, from media reports fairly easy if they have a niggles because they are contracted to football clubs. And this is probably similar to tennis where there are obligations to play tournaments. You might get an appearance fee at a tournament. You might potentially be gearing up for a bigger tournament. So there might be a case where Man City, for example, won't let Phil Foden go out because they've got Champions League coming up soon. So yeah, that's probably the small intricacies of, that club against country battle. But there are people very very patriotic. I think Harry Kane's a good example from football. I think he pretty much will want to play every game. And from a nice selfish point of view, he also probably just wants to score as many goals as he can and have the outright record for as long as he can. But you'd also like to think, relating back to tennis and Emma's situation, yeah, surely there is almost no higher accolade apart from maybe Olympics where like representing your country should really mean a lot, should it not? Or does it not mean a lot anymore?
Well, that's the thing. I think, like you say, you mentioned different sports, and I think, when you talk about football, it is one of those prevalent things that, sometimes it goes even down a family history whether you can play for your country. You might be only a percentage, of that country, for example, but you want to play for it that hard that you want to get into that team and you want to be. I think, is it Anderson? I think in English football now that's just gone into the team tonight. He could have gone two different ways. I believe I might have been wrong there, but yeah, I mean, footballers, for example, they choose to want to play for that best team. I suppose the argument, if you're in that context, is maybe whether you want more success with the lower grade team to be the prominent player, or whether you want to be, dominating as a team to get there. If you look at tennis, it is still an individual sport. I think we have to kind of call it that. You are playing singles, you are on court yourself. And obviously Emma's position and play and performance would certainly help that team. And I mean, okay, let's put a different spin on it. If you were Emma Raducanu's coach right now, bearing in mind you'd only just got with her for the US Open, we don't know the relationship between them, but you're not sure. What would your conversation be with her? What do you think it would be like?
Look, I think for me, Fed Cup slash Billie Jean Cup gives you hopefully the opportunity to build rapport, to obviously be in a team environment. I think that's only a good thing rather than, being, we know tennis is a very individual sport, and gosh, I can only imagine what it's like for top end athletes to have to travel the globe for 10 months of the year, be away from home and family and friends. So, you'd like to think that your peers on a national team are going to be your friends, probably some of the closest people that you might work with. But again, we don't know the dynamic on the GB team or any of the other nations. So I think it really comes back to when you say the coach. I would be, if I'm Emma's coach, I'm thinking long game. I'm thinking, as much as she's changed coaches, right? We've got to think of this being a marathon, not a sprint, and her career in reality is going to be quite short, but she's still very young. And as long as, the workload at Billie Jean Cup doesn't press her, I look at that as maybe, I don't know what it is in terms of time scale, but it's maybe a 10-day window. She's maybe away. There might be a day of rest or travel, maybe a bit of training, depending on how they do in the tournament. They obviously will stay there longer. If they're out a little bit earlier, then obviously, again, look at that, a rest period and a travel period to maybe go over to a tournament in Asia, ready to prepare and go again. I mean, she's obviously would probably like to get to the Saudi Final Eight tournament at the end of the year. Realistically, she's not going to be in that. So again, there's going to be another week to potentially have a training block. And you're probably looking at that off season from a coach's point of view, where you really want to make some changes. So for me, going back to it, I think I'd let her go to Billie Jean Cup, and I'd look at it being a long-term game, and and off-season slash pre-season is going to be where I'm going to work really hard with her and build a better rapport.
Yeah, and I think that's perfectly like that's said perfectly, really. It's we need to have that time out because the US Open signifies, I suppose, the end of the season, so to speak. So she needs time out. She needs to kind of recuperate. But obviously, if you've got this, this cup, which is like you say, 10 days long, it doesn't, I would like to think, not hurt her itinerary, so to speak. And then even if it is a 10-day window coming in, you're coming into at least, what would you say? I mean, obviously off season might be, maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks perhaps. And then you've got, obviously we have Christmas, but obviously in that time you're going to be heavily preparing for the Aussie Open. You'll be over there in maybe late December, just I mean, maybe earlier, it depends how she does it, but she's still got plenty of time to kind of, like you say, prepare for the things that she's seen over the course of 2025 to build into 2026. And these guys already know how to hit, right? So when we're kind of talking about their changes, they're kind of very small changes. We're talking little steps in the ladder, steps in the staircase, let's say, that kind of progression. So any kind of couple of percent that they can make on their game is going to be great. And, we've got to look at Emma and kind of go, right, she's having a great career and she's far from over. You know what I mean? It's definitely a longer career. I forget her age, but she's probably easily got, another 15 years, in there. And what's saying that she can't get another, like Andy Murray, kind of get more Grand Slams. I think the ladies game, well, with Swiatek and Sabalenka in there, I think they may be like, maybe running the show a little bit, but I think there's certainly more. She's certainly closer to those girls to being able to take control of that. So yeah, in my opinion, if I was her coach, I'd be saying, right, just go and do it. I think you need to go and do it. I think you need to go and get in a different environment, different team, kind of get that bit of fun element back in the game as well, and then come back in and be really enthusiastic after a bit of a breakout, and then get into pre-season fresh, ready to go.
Yeah, no. Just quick bit of research. She is 22 at the moment and turning 23 in November. So, yeah, she's got obviously plenty of years ahead of her. I mean, I guess coming quickly back onto it, just coming away a little bit from Emma and probably more from a nation's point of view. If you are, head of the FA or the RFU, for example, for rugby, or obviously the LTA in our instance for tennis. Should there be, every nation's going to be slightly different, and obviously, there are going to be contractual obligations, probably sponsorship obligations. But yeah, let's say you're running the LTA. So Ryan, congratulations on your new role. Are you, as long as somebody is deemed fit, healthy, and ready to go, are you enforcing in your establishment players that should be made available to play?
For me, I don't think I can enforce it. I'm not going to be an enforcer, I don't think. I think it needs to be, I want players that want to be there at the end of the day. So I don't think I'd be enforcing kind of, if you're a top five, you have to be there. But I'd like to think that those people that are being picked for it are in a unique position and are in a position of potentially making history. And I think, yeah, I don't think it needs to come to that personally. I think we need to kind of allow our players to play and make their own decisions, certainly. But I think, players make the right and wrong decisions, How about yourself?
Well, so I was just going to quickly, not to put you in hot water here. So you're condoning Emma's actions by not playing. If you
No,
were in charge.
So I'm saying as the LCA, I wouldn't enforce action against her.
Okay.
I'm saying that I don't think we should punish, players for not playing. I would probably frown on upon it a little bit. I know, obviously, would be frustrated that she's not playing, but I don't think I could put a punishment against her to say that she's not, why she's not playing.
Okay, all right.
And yourself?
I'm gonna be, yeah, again, obviously it just depends on how it's all started off, but again, put me in charge. I, we're unscripted for a reason. I'm gonna be a bit more black and white. I think if you have been looked after by your nation and you've maybe represented them at a junior level as well, and you have good rapport and you're fit and healthy, I think you represent your country. I don't think it should be about going to the next tournament and getting an appearance fee or whatever it may be. Again, obviously I'm speculating by all means saying things like
Yeah,
that, and building
exactly.
up rapport with your coach. I think it is very much helping your nation out, trying to make them better at a tournament, getting a good result. It may not happen, but I think at least you go into it with the best will and intention to get a good result at the end of the day, rather than, she may go to Asia, and lose first round, and then everyone's going to be like, well, that was a bit of a silly decision.
Yeah.
But she'll turn around and go, look, I lost first round, but I've spent so much good time with my new coach. That'll be her probably justification for it, which again, you probably can't argue against at the moment either. So
No.
it's chicken and egg, isn't it? But I
Well,
think, yeah.
I mean, I think it's important, when I say that I'm not going to put punishment in place, I do think wholeheartedly I'm 100% that she should be in that team. And I suppose, like we say, we've already gone through the coach route, but maybe her support team should be doing that. I think, okay, 2026 might start bad. Let's say if you didn't do it and you didn't have enough time to kind of prepare for Oz in whichever way. But let's again talk about the fact that these guys, they know what they're doing. They've spent so much time doing what they do. So it's kind of okay, we get adjustments, we get that. But we're talking about fine-tuned tweaks, aren't we, really? We're not going to tell Emma how to play, or any other British player how to play. But I think I'm on your side, maybe not necessarily so black and white in that you have to play for us, but I'm just I'd like to think the support team would kind of be like, right, you need to go and play this, you need to go and do it. It's important for you to do it, to kind of get more experience and be a part of a team. Because, like you say, you are a part of a team individually, let's say. But I think it's really important that you play for your country. You and I both are 100% in agreement that you have to be. You want to go, and that's the pinnacle, right? You want to represent your country in whatever sport you play.
I think it's very cliche, but until you're in that position, I think standing there with your teammates arm in arm, I could only dream of, like, imagine you and I, arm over shoulder listening to the national anthem. Like, I'm usually an emotional wreck at the best of times, but I'm telling you, even if we're playing a friendly, I'm probably crying at our national anthem. I mean, the just the the importance of just, you've got, like, the nation's expectations on your back. Although it's, a great, I don't know, burden's the wrong word, but that a great weight on your shoulders to potentially carry in terms of maybe getting a performance and a result, whatever it may be. We're probably representing tiddlywinks here, let's be honest. But it's really, that just having that chance to go out and have the flag on your chests, and to know you've got people behind you supporting, and probably if you don't get the result, you're going to be critiqued very much so. And maybe that's how she's looking at it as well, possibly. Maybe she's a little bit of fear of failure, maybe, in there. I don't know. Again, you're speculating a little bit. Maybe she will be critiqued more if they don't get further than they should, potentially, in the Billie Jean Cup. Whereas if she goes off to play a tournament, then yes, it will be reported in the media, but it's Emma Raducanu representing Emma Raducanu rather than Emma Raducanu representing GB. So no, I think there's a lot of opinions on it, isn't there, essentially?
And that's it. I mean, like you say, it's all speculation. We don't know her ins and outs, and there may be more to, the whole thing that we don't hear about, and we can only speculate what we hear from the press, which is sometimes not always true, or it could be made up, So, you've got to be careful what we kind of say, I suppose, in some ways. But I mean, like I say, it's all opinion based on what we're hearing, not fact, I suppose. Is that fair to say?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's just, again, as always, just providing an opinion, speculating on what is potentially true or untrue. But unless we could actually get Emma on the podcast, we're never going to
Come
know.
on, Emma. Come
Come on,
on, Emma.
you listen to it. You are that person.
But we'll take
Right.
Jack Draper, we'll take anybody,
We'll take it. We'll take absolutely anybody. So, if you happen to listen to this, please do get in touch, because you know what? The next one, maybe we might get a guest on, possibly.
never know. You never know.
Yeah, never know. Not to say I don't enjoy talking to you, but you know what? Let's mix it up, possibly.
Yeah, we do need to. We definitely need to.
Ryan, absolute pleasure. Thank you very much
Likewise.
for speaking to everybody and myself, obviously, about, representing your nation, how important it is. So, I think it was a good topic.
Absolutely. Great to chat. Hopefully everybody else out there enjoyed themselves and enjoyed this one. And we'll hopefully see you in the next one.
Take care, guys.
Show me love. Show me love. This is all we got. Show me love.